Let's see. See if we got a little something for our friends in Argentina. That just keeps going, I guess. Well, I'd like to apologize on behalf of the great nation of Argentina. And we'll start with a, you know, actual known entity of a song. Welcome to another great show. We are back at last. That's right. Keep it going for yourselves. You know, without you, there's no show. There we go. We are back. We are back and having a good time. I just got off an airplane a couple hours ago, and believe it or not, I have some shit to say about that. I really hate the airport and the airplane. I fucking hate it, man. I don't recommend being on an airplane more than once in ever. It's a fucking horrible experience. Everyone treats you like shit, and they're all real big bastards, you know. And every time there's kind of a new indignity. That's the probably the most exciting part, is waiting to see what new indignity there is. You know, this time it was the minor, but still annoying, where they say, we don't give away, like, free drinks anymore. You know, they get on the speaker, and as we're taking off, they say, we now will offer drinks for sale. However, we do not offer complimentary beverage service. I know. And that's how I reacted. You know, it's so undignified, and here's why. You know, I'm not demanding anything much, but to take away 4 ounces of cola from the average person is pretty terrible thing to do when that's the only thing you're giving them. You know, I would love, here's what I would like to do. I would like to get an old man who has not flown since 1975, and I'd like to sponsor him to take a flight today, you know, and after he takes that flight, be like, well, sir, what did you think? How did your experiences compare? And he'd be like, oh my God, he wouldn't even survive. He'd be parched. And, you know, the fatso next to him would shove him out in the aisle, and then someone's 80-pound bag would fall on his head. You know, I sat next to this guy on the way back who was a little larger than I'd prefer. This is another idea I had for the airline, okay? Here's what it is. The window seats are now fatso seats. Fat seats. And here's how it works. They're a little wider, and they cost a little more. Now, you could buy them if you just want to pay the extra. However, if you are of a certain girth or over, regardless of how fat you are, Because you know what? Some people are just forward fat. You know, it goes straight out. So if you saw them from behind, you wouldn't know they were that fat. And really, that doesn't bother me because I don't have to sit next to you. But a lot of fatsos are wide fat as well. So what should be done is you should have to, if you're over a certain limit, you know, you can they could have you walk through a little thing if you're not sure, a little wicket. And if you cannot walk straight through, then you have to sit in the fatso seat. You have to, you know? Because the thing is, it's not about your discomfort as a fat guy. It's about my discomfort as well. What about me? What do I get out of you being fat? I mean, you got to eat all the corn dogs. What do I get out of your girth, you know? I mean, even if I'm real into bears, the dudes, the big dudes, we're not fucking. You know, that would probably be one of the worst parts about being one of those bears. You'd have to, you know, travel with this person and being in the car with them and everything. I mean, it would be a whole ordeal. I mean, that would be a time, I bet when they're getting on the plane, the gay guys who like the little gay guys are high-fiving each other all over the place in celebration, you know, in very gay high-five celebration because they're thinking, I made a good choice. I got this little guy, you know, we could share a seat if we wanted to. And I got this guy who's so small, he could sit on one knee like a ventriloquist dummy and we'd be fine. But yeah, that's another one of my revolutions that could fix the airline industry. Here's another revolution. So, you know, I was in the city on the bus, and the bus, you get on the fucking bus, and the bus driver, it's almost like they get paid per stop, you know, when you're an average person, when you're not like in a wheelchair or this woman staggered her way onto the bus and we had to wait forever for her to sit down. But when you're me and you get on the bus driver just fucking floors it as soon as you get on the bus. Now, why could I stand up on the bus? I could just stand there facing the wrong... I could stand and spin in a circle. No one's going to stop me. Yet on the airplane, you know, as soon as you land and then you're just driving around 5 miles an hour, they're like, whoo, better not stand up. Nobody get out of your seat. Leave your seatbelt on, you know. And for my money, that seatbelt sign would snap off if we were traveling less than 10 miles an hour. I mean, as soon as we're just crawling along, boom, and you stand up and you get your fucking shit out and everybody could just be standing ready to go. That's it. That's all it would take, right? I mean, it seems like an easy plan. I don't know. I think that would make it a lot better. You'd get off the plane faster. Everyone would be happier. We'd all be filled with joie de vivre and everything. I think it's a good idea. Yeah, thank you. I'm with you guys. I sat next to you. You know, I always have this problem, too. When you see a guy get on the plane next to you and he has no items, I get concerned. I have a really specific top and bottom when it comes to items. If you have too many items, I hate you. But if you have no items, I also hate you. But turns out this guy didn't need any items because he just decided to go ahead and eat his fingernails and mess around with some hangnails while we were flying for 2 hours, which was perfect, you know? I do think that's kind of bullshit because if I can't bring on a nail clipper, they should have taken away his teeth for sure. They should have said, well, those are doing the same job, so I don't think you can hang on to those teeth for this flight, sir. That's not appropriate. You know, he's using them as nail clippers. I mean, if I didn't bring nail clippers, but I bought some pieces and assembled the nail clippers on the flight, would that be allowed? I don't think so. It worked out great for him, though, you know, that they didn't provide a snack. Didn't really affect him because he's just like, I'll just sit here and... No, I'm fine. I've got these... I grew out these fingernails, so I'm going to just fill my belly with those as we fly across this country. I don't understand how people, there's a weird segment of the population I don't understand now. There are people like this guy who have the wherewithal to get a plane ticket, get to the airport, get on the plane, and go across the country, yet they don't seem to think it's important to shower before they do this. You know, body odor, Orama deodor. It smelled like shit, man. This guy smelled like an ass turned inside out, covered in rotten fish and lemon. Fucking A right. One of the worst experiences I've ever had. And, you know, all he did was his fingernails decreased and his odor increased as he was working away, chipping away at his own body parts, you know, with his own body parts, as I just sat in horror and wished that I could close my hooded sweatshirt over my eyes. He just got smellier and smellier. Shower is mandatory, guys. Here's another thing. They can make a swab that can tell if you've handled explosives in the last however long. Can they also make a fucking swab that shows that if you've not held a bar of soap in the last 24 hours, you ain't getting on that fucking flight? Because it's ridiculous. There's no reason to not shower before you get on that flight. And I mean right before. Not the night before. You know, this was a noon flight, okay? It's not a big deal to get to the airport by noon. Believe me. You have time to shower. If you don't have time to shower, you don't have time to take that flight, okay? If you don't have time to shower, you ain't got time to sit next to me. I'll tell you that. I don't know. I just wish that people wouldn't, you know, wouldn't behave that way. Or would behave. That's all I want. I just want that. I don't know if I remember to share on the last show. But, you know, so the usual plan of not turning off my iPod ever may or may not have succeeded. All except for one time. The one time that a stewardess came and said, Sir, you need to turn off that iPod. Do you know when that happened? It was the one time I was actually turning it off because I had no interest in listening to it. One time I had it out, was pushing the button, holding it down as the screen went black. I hear, Sir, you need to turn off your iPod so we can land. You know, I was thinking, so this is the one time I was actually doing right, I get chastised. The rest of the time, you leave me the fuck alone, huh? What the hell is going on up in these friendly, fucked up skies? You know. So I was in Chicago. It's a nice place. Saw good old Uncle John. You know, you know, my mom was there. She wanted to go to the Contemporary Art Museum, which those are three words that when they go together, I get fucking nervous. Art, I'm already nervous, you know? Even if it's a guy named Art, I'm not really terribly interested in meeting him, you know what I mean? Yeah, I mean, you just never know with art. Hi, my name's Art. Museum. This almost always ends in disaster. You know. Every museum, too, should have a fucking dinosaur skeleton. Just to ease my mind. I will say the Phoenix Art Museum outside had a T-Rex statue. I think that's a good move. You know, I think that's the way to keep people thinking, maybe this is going to be okay. You know, maybe we're all going to get through this somehow. I don't know. But then you throw in the contemporary. That's when things get real scary. That's when Pete gets pretty nervous that this may not be the trip for him. Was I justified? How did I feel when I went up the stairs and saw the room carpeted in a weird carpet with some sort of spinning light? In order to access the other rooms, you had to put on small slippers over your shoes so that you could walk on this carpet. Do you think that Pete put on the small shoes over his shoes to walk over a carpet that was laid out as an art exhibit at the museum? Or do you think he said, well, I suppose this floor will remain a mystery? How do you think Pete felt when he saw a large piece of thick, clear plastic on some wooden triangles sitting on the floor for no apparent reason? How do you think Pete felt when he saw the weird video exhibit where someone's face is projected on a small ball under a mattress and she's saying weird crap while you're walking through the room? And you feel sorry for the poor person who has to stand there falling asleep on his feet. You know. How do you think Pete felt when he saw what appeared to be a bunch of construction paper made into a wad? Pete was not amused. Pete was not happy. Bring that up at the same time that I bring up good old Uncle John, because I think he summed it up best. You know, so we kind of all split up. Three of us walked around a little bit. And he's a trooper, so he stuck it out. But, you know, he wasn't pumped or anything. So I get this text after a little while, and it says, "Sitting in the cafe, drinking a Perrier." You know? So that's what he's doing. So I catch up with him, and he's sitting there, and he just gives me this look like, this is something, you know? And I sit down, he says, "Oh, yeah, you know, this whole building could burn down. They ain't going to lose anything of value in there. I don't know. Someday you could see there's a lot of work going on, you know? Take a lot of time. That thing with the mops all strung together. At least that was a, that's a lot of work, you know? But some of that, I just, you know, I don't get much out of that, you know, Pete?" And then we just talked about World War II for 45 minutes or something. So that was that. That's how that went. That was those fun times. Good stuff, though. Good stuff. Saw a real cracked out guy on the train last night. My God. He's one of those guys. I think there's sort of three stages of cracked out hobo. You know, there's the cracked out one. Well, no, I'll say four. There's the one that's mildly cracked out, but you can't tell if he's cracked out or just insane. There's the one that's scary and intense cracked out. Then there's the one that's sort of happy cracked out, like, which is what this guy was, where it's almost funny. And everyone in the train station on both sides of the tracks is watching this man dancing and twirling about, going up and down the stairs, dancing to the beat of his own drum, which is made out of, I don't even know what, you know, Irish rose or something. Something really crazy. How he even got on the train station, I don't know. And would he ever leave? I don't know. You know, would that matter? He may not even be a real man. He may have just been, an aberration of the train. You know, a train, a ghost that lives on the train. Scary stuff. And then the last stage, I think, is similar to the third stage. Super cracked out. Seems to be having a good time. But it's scary. Because the good time, you feel like, is riding right on the edge of becoming a very bad time. You feel like he's one, you know, a guy will push a button on a pop machine and then the guy will be like, "What'd you say, motherfucker?" And then just attack or something. You just don't know. I don't know, there's something dark-sided to the good time had by the crackhead, I think. But love that crackhead, huh? Nothing like a good... Oh, by the way! B-T-F-N-W got on the plane this time. You may remember that last time I got on the plane, I was complaining that a woman used the bathroom before the plane had finished boarding. This time, I was seated in the fifth row. This means there were four rows boarded before I got on. One of the first people to board the plane. One of the first, I guess that would make me 30, to board the plane. I'm getting on the plane. This motherfucker comes out of the bathroom on the plane. Could not have possibly been on there for a minute before using the bathroom on the fucking plane. You believe that shit? Can you believe this motherfucker? getting right off of there. And then he just comes out of the bathroom like, hey, it happens to everybody. And I looked at him like, no, it doesn't. What the fuck did you just do? You know, you better be having the worst diarrhea of your life. I would rather find out through scent and sound that he was having the worst diarrhea of his life than he's an adult man who could not sit on the airplane for 1 minute or go pee in the terminal before getting on the fucking airplane. Okay. You know what? Let's go ahead. We're going to just do a quick segue into our next bit here. So, did a lot of stuff before I left. I had a very American week. We went to a little event known as the Demolition Derby. This is where cars smash into each other, because, you know, that's the right thing to do. It's the American way. One of the things I noticed is that the announcer, you know, he's like one of these, okay, race fans, we've got a big Dumbledore, we've got Chippendale, he's out of Wellington County, he's a four-time racing experience out there. You know, and he's calling everybody by name like I give a flying fuck about. I mean, these guys, if the cars could just drive themselves, these are Transformers, it would be no different to me. So they smash their cars into each other and try to win. I noticed the guy making the announcements was doing a lot of vamping. You know, because here's what happens. There's about 10 minutes of action, and then there's a good half hour because they have to clear all the wrecked cars off of the thing, which is really a genius thing that some hillbilly came up with, was having these different heats and these clear-off times, because that gives you... Never has a beer sounded like a better idea than when you're sitting in a sleeveless Eagle shirt watching a loader, front loader, pick a fucking old rusted car that's beat to shit, pull it off a dirt track and drive it away. And you're thinking, well, we got to do 12 more of these. I think I might have a beer at this juncture. I think this may be the time. They must sell a lot of beer at these demo derbies. Tractor pulls, I'm guessing, are a similar situation. I'm beginning to suspect there may be no event or gathering that's not an excuse to get loaded. I'd like to hear concerts. A lot of people getting loaded. Weddings. People getting loaded. Dates. People getting loaded. Dates with me. Definitely one person getting real loaded, and that's me, ladies. You know, it's hard to come up with an active fishing, golf, darts, bowling. FAC. These all seem to be things where people really just want to get loaded, but they don't want to say that. They just want to get loaded, which I'm fine with. Just say you're getting loaded. It's cool. It is cool, too, by the way. It is very cool. So before this race, event, derby started, we did... Oh, and yeah, derby. That was the other thing I couldn't figure out, you know. What things are derbies and what things are races? Is it a dirt track? And like the roller derby, why is that a derby? Because they're smashing into each other, but then what about the Kentucky Derby? Are the horses wearing fishnets and the cars wearing fishnets as well? It seems like maybe that'd be a natural fit. I don't know. Probably fit the cars just about as well as some of those broads, huh? They're large. Some of them are large. Before this all began, though, of course, we had to stand up and, you know, the guy started early with his killing time, I think. He's like, now, everybody, we're going to go ahead and stand up. Don't forget that if you're wearing a hat, you take your hat off. And if you've got a little one with you, go ahead and show them where to put their hand over their heart. And, you know, giving us all the directions for the national anthem. Yeah, we get it. Okay? You got a retarded person with you? Make sure that they're facing the general direction of the flag, even though God has no mercy on their soul, and they will probably burn in hell after living a life of hell. If you do not believe in our Lord, Savior, Jesus Christ, God, and the Holy Ghost, then go ahead and just stare forward and pretend and try to resist drinking your beer during, but take a large drink of your beer immediately following. If you parked in Lot F, you will need to get a different sticker before you leave. So, after the anthem, but before you leave, make sure you do that. Tonight, if you have to take a shit, make sure that you wipe in proper fashion so that you do not wipe shit into your genital area. Because you may want to 69 later. If you decide to 69 later after the national anthem, just make sure that the anthem is complete, you've wiped yourself properly, you got the correct sticker, and that you are at home and not doing it in front of these wonderful children, farmers, and of course, our soldiers here today. Thank you very much, everybody. I hope that you enjoy today's Demolition Derby. You know, it just went on and on. You could not stop this guy. If you should find that you are sexually aroused during the national anthem, please hang your hat over your outstretched penis if you are a man. If you are a woman, I don't really know what that looks like in terms of arousal. But if you have some kind of penis or other protrusion that will emerge, also try and cover that with a hat or a young one. Thank you. You know, it just fucking went on and on. But after the anthem and before the race, you know, we all kind of sat ready to go. We were treated to a little something called the Racer's Prayer. Okay. Which I have here for us today. I thought that we would all benefit from this. You know, because let's face it, what's more American than finishing the national anthem, going into a prayer, and then watching some cars bash into each other? You know, what else could you do besides those things? That seems pretty great to me. So let's see. Let me see if I can find some America music. Something that has the word America in it. That's the hardest part. I don't have any of the right music. I don't have a sex music. I don't have, you know. This, what I'm looking for. Here we go, Calling America. Perfect. Here we go. Oh, Lord, grant that I may carry you, the true spirit of joy, into racing. Help me be dependent upon you for my fulfillment and happiness. With all my heart, I come to you for protection. Fortify my strength so that I may run a good race. Forgive my trespasses and give me the power to be victorious over sin so that when life's checkered flag is waved, I will have won the ultimate victory through our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. It's a pretty good one, huh? I really like the checkered flag of life. You know, once we get to the checkered flag of life, That's a nice way to sort of put the death. Oh, you're going to die. You mean go through life's checkered flag? Sort of. I mean, yeah, if you can sort of win a checkered flag by just smoking and drinking yourself and eating a lot of pulled pork, then sure. Then yes, that's absolutely what I'm talking about. You know? I also went to a barbecue restaurant. A barbecue restaurant. Now, here's the thing. We have this place out here called Nordy's, which I have a bit of a history with, because it used to be that the owners of this restaurant owned a different restaurant in the area, known as Bubba's Barbecue, where I spent much of my youth washing dishes. The place was a shithole. Everything about it was bad. I hope you like toast that tasted like the floor. Okay. But owned by the same people, kind of got the same feel. Here's a bad sign when you go to a restaurant. When your food comes out in 2 minutes, that's bad. Okay, so we get there. Here's what I didn't like. We get there, we sit down, and our waitress Ashley, and you're probably saying to yourself right now, Pete, I didn't think you were really the type to remember a waitress's name for over a couple weeks. You know, Lord, fortify me with the strength that when we get to the checkered flag of this meal, I will still remember the waitress's name, which I did because she immediately upon coming to our table grabbed an empty blank plate, took a barbecue sauce thing, bottle, but one that has a little squirt end, and spray painted her name onto the plate in sauce. I'm going to just say that again. She wrote her name on a plate in sauce. Why, you may be asking. I have no fucking idea. I do not know why you would write your name in sauce on a plate. And I didn't even really know what was happening at first. You know, it's like watching your first kid be decapitated for the first time. You see it happening, you know, the guy's holding the giant pair of scissors. Your kid's trying to hold it back, but he's got the leverage working against him. Snip, his head's cut off and rolling down the street. And you just don't know what's happening. That's what it was like when Ashley wrote in the sauce on the plate. She walked away, and then I looked at the plate and said, guys, I think she just wrote her name in sauce for us. This is for us to keep at the table. Sauce plate with her name on it. So this meal's already going terribly. I'm already very upset, to be honest. Then, to make matters worse, ordered a sandwich. And here are the choices of pulled pork that you're allowed to pick from. When you say you're going to have pulled pork, they say, would you like that lean or moist? Now, I would like everyone to just take a moment and think about what you think about when you hear the word moist. That's right. Old pair of panties that needs to be switched out real quick because you got too excited about that pulled pork. You were so aroused by that pulled pork, you got moist. You know? How would you like that pulled pork? Would you like it dry or aroused? How moist is it, Ashley? Is it as wet as I was watching you write your name in sauce? As I was imagining you coming back to my apartment and tracing my body contours in sauce? And then I would just be covered in sauce. I'd be a sauce man. And you would slowly lick it off my body while asking me other crazy questions and not remembering to bring beers to the table that you were really supposed to bring to the table. Is that the life that I imagined together that made me so moist that I was able to say that word in front of you? No, it is not. When it came time to order my sandwich, and I was given the choice of lean or moist, I ordered mine not moist. No, I'm sorry. I ordered that. I fucked up. Guys, the show is canceled. Goodbye. I ordered mine not lean in order to avoid saying the word moist to Ashley, ruining her beautiful innocence. Saucy lady. She doesn't need to be hearing the word moist. Nobody does. Nobody would. Why you would have that be the options? And moist doesn't sound good. You know what I mean? What sounds good that should be moist besides like a woman's nether region? And even that, go ahead and say wet. I am kind of wet. Eh, that might be a little much. I mean, if you're wet, I'd be like, oh, God. Maybe we should wait 10 minutes. You know, could you think about your job or something? Because wet, gushing like a... You know, I don't know, downstairs I am like a fire hydrant in Harlem during a heat wave, just gushing. Gushing. I could blow a kid away with the power, you know, if they came out in their swim trunks and were dancing around in the street. I would make a great photography picture for a beginning photographer really wanting to capture that urban life. We're one young girl with beads in her hair away from really showing everybody that we know a lot about what it's like to live this life in the city. Maybe instead of moist and lean, we could come up with some different words. Like, here's a crazy idea. Lean or traditional? And when I ask what traditional, you say it's got more fat. Lean or fat? I like fat. I'm not dumb. I would order the fat version. I don't care. How about this? Lean or regular? A lot of words we could use to get away from this word moist. You know, I'm having trouble. I mean, moist seems like the word that you would use, you know, for those panties blowing that beaded kid away. Or, I don't know, when you're talking about how you had mold in the walls. Oh, yeah, it's very moist in my apartment. Oh, God. Fuck me. That does not sound appropriate. Are you okay? Do you need help? Do you require assistance, sir? It sounds like you might. No, I'm fine. I'm just very moist right now. Okay. No, it's fine. I'm having a lot of moist times over here. Do not tell me that your pulled pork is moist ever again, you fucking bitch. You fucking piece of shit. You didn't like that, huh? Too far? By the way, did not bring our beers to the table until far too late. When I look over to see, maybe she's, because she was at the bar, maybe she's getting these beers ready. Maybe she's preparing. Maybe she's doing some, work here. And what is she doing? What do you think she's doing? Well, she's filling up sauce into bottles. If you weren't spraying your fucking sauce all over the place like goddamn graffiti, you know, maybe if you weren't creating an entire statue of yourself out of dried sauce scabs, maybe if you didn't treat sauce like pencil, you know, I swear to God, she came to our table and she got out her waitress pad. It was just a huge tray and she wrote our orders in sauce on the tray. It's probably why she forgot the beers. They had run down the tray and it was too late to actually interpret what she had written there. Two beers, but it had run down. And she's like, oh, God, I need to work on my sauce tip control. You know, she's got a whole set of sauces at home with different cuts and different widths of the hole that the sauce comes out of, all that shit. She's a real sauce artisan. You know, really using sauce in a way I hadn't expected. She may have had an exhibit at the art museum. I wouldn't be surprised. It's called Getting Saucy with Ashley. Artist Ashley. God, what a piece of shit. What a horrible human that was. I mean, can you imagine? What if you worked at a restaurant and the manager said, we do this great thing here. You're going to love it. What we do is when you come to work here, you take the sauce and you write your name on the plate in front of the people. Absolutely not. I would be so upset if that happened. I would probably kill the manager. I might. I don't know. But I might have to. What other choice do you... I'm not writing my name in sauce. And if I, you know... And she left this fucking name sauce plate at the table the entire meal. The last thing she took away was the plate with her name on it, you know? She took all the other plates away, came back for our bill, and she's like, oh, I'll go ahead and get this out of your way. And I was like, yeah, thanks. Thanks, you know. I think we got it. Whether or not we know your name at this point, I don't think we're going to learn it now. If you can't get someone's name in your skull after watching them write it in sauce, you're not going to get it. Tell you that, that might be a good party strategy. Hey, everybody, here's a bottle of old mustard. Go ahead and just write your name all over the fucking floor, rub it in the carpet, and then help yourself to some drinks. I don't have any food, but you could take a shot of the mustard for yourself. What the hell? That's edible, right? It's been out in the sun because I like it that way. Hot. But hey, you're your own man or woman. I don't know. Probably man. It's my party, right? How many women do I know who would come to my party? who I don't know their names already. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine me having a party? A. And B, a woman I do not know comes through the door. That seems impossible. I have never met a woman that I don't know in my entire life. This is not something that's ever happened. Where I saw a woman and said, I don't know who that is at all. What a strange thing for us to be in the same place. This has never happened. It's probably not good. Probably not a good sign for my social life here. Moving on. Got a couple other things to get to. Let's see. Let's go ahead and do a nice segue here. All right. That was great. That was like Entertainment Tonight, except I'm about to talk about showering with my mom. I didn't actually shower with my mom. Here's the thing. So, you know, when you stay in the same place as your family, you learn some things. Now, I have a question for the listening audience out there, and it's regarding shower heads. Once in a while, when I go to someone's house and take a shower or go to a hotel, the shower head is pointed in some crazy direction. Crazy directions are the following. Any direction except directly straight ahead. Okay? You can adjust the up and down. But the side to side, once in a while you go to someone's house and it's shooting directly at the shower curtain, which makes no fucking sense to me. Are you standing off to the side of the tub? Why is this happening? Or it'll be shooting straight at the wall. So, are you plastering yourself against the wall to shower? Is this a balance issue you're having? What is going on? Never did I think, though, that my own mother would be one of these people. Took a shower one day, and it was pointed at the wall, but I thought, hey, you know, maybe the maids did it when they cleaned or something like that. Who knows? Maybe they just do that. Maybe it was the last guy who stayed here pointed this at the wall. You know, last thing, every hotel, don't you kind of want to think at the hotel that you're the first person who's ever stayed at that hotel? And anything that ruins that illusion is, that's what makes a hotel suck. If you think there's ever been someone there before you, or will be someone there after you, your hotel experience goes down the shitter. Unless you're staying at some haunted hotel or something like that, you know, some weird cabin, I don't know. Then I guess you kind of want to get chopped up, right? You're sort of asking for it, seems like, by the ghost of an old miner. Wants revenge because you ruined his prospecting days. So I adjust the shower, take the shower, whatever. Next day, get back in the shower. Same thing. Pushed up against the wall. What is happening there? Why is this a thing? Can anyone explain this to me? I would love to hear an explanation. I don't email me, tweet me, Facebook me, kill yourself, whatever it takes. Just explain to me how and why the shower would go up against the wall like that. You know? And God, you know, I'm sad that it took showering in the same shower as my mom. I know. But we did shower in the same shower. And this is how I found out that someone who I consider sort of normal does this. I don't know why I didn't ask her. Just seemed a little personal. I'd rather ask you guys. You know, I don't want to know. Maybe I don't want to know. Maybe she's got her leg hiked up on there, and she's taking a couple of those fingers and doing one of the old... Yeah. You can imagine from there, I'm sure. Especially if you've met my mother. So, let's move on. We need to talk about girls for a second. I heard a couple things that I thought was pretty interesting. So my cousin was telling me, regaling me with this story of how he had this friend who broke his collarbone. He was walking around in a sling. And he said they went to two different bars. And this man and my cousin drank for free. Now, this is not one of these cousin stories where I say, dude, my cousin can get us Zippo lighters and then we could have them forever, even though we're in fifth grade. You know, because it's not that amazing of a story, right? I'm just being honest about where I heard it. But it was, he really did this. And I came up with this idea. How much does a sling possibly cost? Maybe 10 bucks, right? Maybe. And I said, you know, if I go get that sling, even if I get one free drink out of it at a bar, I pretty much broke even already. So more than one, and all of a sudden, the sling is not a cheating tool to be a piece of shit and make people feel sorry for you. It's an investment. So I'm thinking about it. I'd like to know, you know, would you be inclined to buy a guy? And he also, my cousin said that his friend looked real haggard, you know, hadn't been out of the house for a while, real down, you know, dopey. So my cousin was saying, well, you got to buy the sling and, you know, look real sad, like your life has no meaning. And I thought, well, that's, you know, I'm in as far as that goes. That requires no change in my current setup. I could just do that. So I don't know, I'm thinking about it. Thinking about how that would go. It's also telling me they have, apparently, on the beach down there, they have a singles volleyball league. So, you know, you sign up, and then you get paired up on these co-ed teams, and you play volleyball, and then maybe go have drinks and everything. Which is so funny, because whenever I hear about that stuff, my first thought is, that could probably work. And then I think, that could probably work for everyone except for me. That would not work for me. How am I going to impress anyone with my volleyball skills? That I've proven I cannot do. I have no coordination, no abilities on the court. Ooh. Ooh, okay. Here's what I think I need to do. Just came up with this. The combination of the two perfect schemes. Scheme number one, you sign up for the singles volleyball. You show up. You know, I look ready to go. First, you know, we practice. I suck. I say, I just got to get back into shape. Then I take a dive for one and be like, oh, my collarbone. And then leave the place, you know, be like, I'll drive myself. The hospital's pretty expensive, that ambulance. Drive to Sonic, eat tater tots, come back with my sling on. And say, guys, I don't know, I think I could still play. And they'll be like, no way, you know. And I say, okay, well, I don't know. This is going to put a real damper. My girlfriend broke up with me because I, you know, got a sling on today. And she said, no boyfriend of mine's going to wear a sling. Forget it. So she left. But if you guys wanted to go get a drink or something after, guess that'd be all right. Might help cheer me up 5% or less. Then we go. Then it's perfect. Then I've done it. I haven't learned sports, which is a goal of mine, to not learn sports. And I've made good use of the sling. May be able to get a refund on my volleyball tournament. Maybe this is it. I just need to synthesize these two ideas into one. Combine as many possible scams into a mega scam. That may be the way to turn this life around, to turn the beat around, if you will. Which is really what I've always been interested in. You know, how do you do that? How do you make it happen in today's working world as a single woman trying to make her way in the city? Well, everybody, that's everything for today. You know, I hope you don't get assaulted with any sauce. I hope you don't have to fly anywhere ever again. You know, that you just get magic powers and that's not necessary. Keep listening. Keep telling your friends. Keep telling your enemies. You know, tell everybody. I don't know. Meet a stranger and just tell them. Who cares? You're never going to talk to them again. There's no need to impress them by making them think you listen to good things. So go ahead and just tell them you listen to this shit. It's going to work out perfectly for everybody. Okay. Have a good night.